1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. Here's what the Bible says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And let's pray. Lord, we love you. I pray that you bless our class this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this great subject we can teach on. Speak to us, to our hearts, we pray in your name. Amen. I think sometimes as Christians, prayer, we hear that term a lot. And we understand, you know, I think we understand what it is. But I'm afraid, and I'm pretty much going to be speaking from personal experience in my life this morning, because God is really trying to help me in this area. But sometimes I don't think we access the power of prayer the way God wants us to. Prayer is such a powerful thing, and it's just it accomplishes so many different things. And if we're going to be the Christian God wants us to be, we got to have a handle on this thing of prayer. Okay, so I want to be a blessing to you this morning. This isn't going to be something that kind of talks down on us or is trying to shame us into praying. I want to encourage you to pray and just kind of tell you why we need to. All right, let me give you some blessings of prayer. First of all, let me say this: what is prayer? Prayer simply means to ask. That's what it is. Praying is where we simply go to God and ask Him for some things. Now, when we pray, there's more to it than just asking God for things. I mean, the Bible shows us the pattern in the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus gave us, that there's things that are about prayer than just asking God for stuff. I believe that when we pray, we always ought to start our prayer time with a time of thanksgiving, a time of thanking the Lord. And we ought to spend time doing that. And we ought to always come to God with a thankful heart. And I know different people probably do it different ways, but I always like to, every day that I pray, when I thank the Lord, I like to begin by thanking Jesus specifically for what He did for us. And I like to go through and I like to thank Christ for the way that He came and was born and how He humbled Himself, and how that when He was here on earth, He lived that perfect and sinless life and set the example for us. And I like to thank Him for that. Then I like to thank Him for what He did for us as He suffered for us, and kind of think about how He suffered and why He suffered. Then I like to thank Him for the fact that He rose and that He's coming again. And I just like to spend some time praising God. And let me just tell you this, Christian, if you'll start your day like that, I promise you, you'll have a good day. Amen. That doesn't mean that you won't maybe face some hard things through the day, but if you'll begin your day by just crying out to God and thanking Him, there's just something that comes along by doing that. Amen. So prayer is not just asking. There's more to it than that. There ought to be a time of thanksgiving. There also ought to be a time of confession. We've talked about this before, where really before we get really into talking to God, we ought to spend some time being clean, being right. You see, the Bible tells us that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. And see, as Christians, we're not talking about getting saved again. Hey, once you're saved, you're always saved, amen? But as we walk through this earth and we interact with people, we pick up junk, okay? I mean, you men that go to work every day, you don't come home at the end of the day clean. Okay? I mean, you've been busy, you've been working, but you come home dirty. You pick it up from working throughout the day. And as Christians, as we live this life and we go through life, we pick up junk, okay? And we got to make sure we're clean. And then once we have a time of confession, then there ought to be a time of prayer, of asking, where we ask God. And by the way, we're not just asking God for things for ourselves. Did you hear what the verse said here? Supplication, prayers, intercessions. Okay, intercession means interceding on the behalf of somebody else. You know, I think, sad to say, one of the biggest lies as Christians sometimes we tell somebody is, I'm praying for you. We say that a lot, but do we really pray for people? Yesterday, we were able to, yesterday morning, go out visiting for a little bit with some of the different missionaries and the men of Brother Russell's church. And we were out knocking doors yesterday morning and ran across a lady. And my heart began to break as I began to talk to her and speak with her. And she was an elderly lady. And she was kind of telling me about her life and things that were going on. Then I began to ask her about the Lord. And she's like, you know what? She's like, you don't really have to talk to me about that because I gave up on God a long time ago. And I looked at her, I said, ma'am, I said, somewhere in your life you've been hurt. I said, somewhere along the lines, something has come into your life, it's hurt you to make you say that about God. I said, because I'm going to tell you this, God is a wonderful and great God. And I said, people may fail you, but God will never fail you. And she's like, well, God's failed me. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, you may think that, but that's the devil trying to get you to think that. I said, can I pray with you? And when I said that, I saw something in her eyes. She's like, would you take time to pray with me? And I did. And I prayed with her. And she asked me, she's like, please, would you just continue to call my name out to the Lord? And you know what, folks, listen, that's just one of many illustrations. But that's what we're to do as Christians, intercede on the behalf of others. I gave her a tract and I asked her if before she went to bed if she'd read that. And she told me she would. And so throughout the day and even this morning, I called her name out to the Lord and said, Lord, you know what's going on in her life. Please help her to be open to the gospel and to be saved. And listen, Christian, let me ask you this. Who are you interceding in behalf of? Who is it that you're taking before the throne of God and interceding for? And that's part of prayer. We ought to intercede in behalf of others. And we could take a whole bunch of time talking about that. And then, of course, Christian, then ask God for the things that you need for yourself and for your life. Hey, doesn't the Bible say in the book of James, we have not, why? Because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. I mean, what is it in your life that you want or need? And listen, go to God. Don't make God your last resort. God's not a spare tire. He's not there only if you need him. God wants to be your first resort. Go to God. Ask him. I mean, listen, I've been talking to God about so much, asking him for so many things. Hey, listen, you can't ask God for too much. Tell you can't. I mean, I heard a preacher say the other day, God doesn't just own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills that the cattle are on. I mean, God's got the resources. God's got the everything he needs to provide for us. Now, we can't be ridiculous, okay? I mean, the Bible talks about praying amiss so that we can consume it upon our own lusts. Hey, God, give me $1 million so I can live a more lavish lifestyle. Well, God's probably not going to answer that prayer. But if you're praying for some resources so you can do God's work, or you're praying for some resources so maybe you can increase your giving or some things like that, God hears those things. And God will more than likely answer those prayers, okay? So that's what prayer is, okay? It's simply asking. It's simply going to God, calling out to him, and having a communication, a relationship with God. Now, I like to encourage people this. The best time I pray, the best way I pray is when I can pray out loud. And I can just speak to God, just like I'm talking to you this morning. I like talking to God like that. Now, I don't always pray that way. Sometimes I'll pray silently, and sometimes things are going on where I don't want a voice out loud. But I just say this, most of the time, the best way to pray is to pray out loud to God. Hey, find yourself someplace, a private place. The Bible talks about a prayer closet. Now, that may or may not be a physical closet, okay? It could be. But it's some private place where you can go and spend time with your Creator. I'm telling you, Christian, you get a hold of this thing on prayer, it will change your life. Yes, it will. And here's what I found out, okay? You know, you guys remember when you first began having a relationship with your wife, okay? I remember when my wife and I first started dating. I mean, y'all remember back how it was. I mean, you couldn't get enough of each other. I mean, you'd sit there and you'd talk for what you thought was 5 minutes, end up being 2 hours, okay? I remember my grandpa Reiser, after my grandma passed away, he made a connection with a lady that he used to know when he was in Bible college. Her husband had passed away, and they began to communicate on the phone. And it was so funny. Here was my grandpa, okay, 70-some years old, acting like a little guy in high school talking to this woman, okay? They ended up getting married, and he moved to Colorado and was with her. But I remember that one time he told my dad that he was on the phone with her all night long. And my dad's like, wow, Dad, that must have been an interesting conversation, you know? And anyway, we don't even want to go there, all right? But here was my grandpa in love again, okay, talking on the phone for hours to someone that he cared a great deal for, okay? And listen, let me just say this, the deeper you have a relationship with God, folks, listen, you don't have to make yourself pray. You'll want to pray. You'll want to talk to God. You'll want to communicate with Him. And you know what I found out as I began my prayer life with the Lord and began taking time to do that? I mean, listen, but you just lose track of time because you're more interested in building a relationship with the Lord. So that's what prayer is, okay? It's kind of in a nutshell what prayer is. Now, I want to give you this morning some blessings of having a prayer life. Okay, some blessings. All right, why you ought to have a prayer life, okay? And I want to give you some things. First of all, let me say this. You can pray. Yes, you can. Listen, if you're saved, you're a child of God, you can have a relationship with God through prayer. Yes, you can. Don't let the devil fool you into thinking that you can't pray. You can pray. I don't care if you've been saved 1 hour or 100 years. God wants to have a prayer life, wants you to have a prayer life. You can pray. Did you see that verse we read? Verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Man, I like that verse. One, I mean, have you ever thought about what is Jesus, what's he doing in heaven right now? Okay? Well, let me just say this. Jesus really isn't the king of heaven. Okay? Who sits on the throne of heaven? You know who sits on the throne of heaven? God the Father. Where's Christ at? He's at the right hand of the Father. One of these days, God's going to give the kingship to his Son. That'll happen during the millennial reign of Christ. But right now, Jesus' job in heaven isn't the king. You know what his job in heaven is? We just read it. He's the mediator between God and man. And I love that because you know what Christ is doing? He's sitting on the right hand of his Father, intercessing in behalf of us. Hey, Father, hey, my brother, my sister is coming to you about this need. Now, Lord, I know that you're God and you can perform these things. Listen, God, this is what they're asking you to do. Lord, would you do this for them? I mean, Jesus Christ is there mediating for you. I mean, we understand what a mediator is. A mediator is someone that tries to strike agreements between people, okay? And that's exactly what Christ is doing. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, mediating in our behalf. If we have a prayer life. Amen. If you pray. If you access that wonderful relationship that God wants you to have. So Christian, let me encourage you. You can pray. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 4. Listen to this. This will give us more insight into our relationship with Christ through prayer. Hebrews chapter 4. Give you a few minutes to get there. Here's what he says in verse 14. Sing then. Notice this, man, this is good, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. All right, hey, do we believe in priest? We believe in one priest. And you know who that priest is? Jesus, the Son of God. He's the only priest that we have, amen? All right, Jesus, the Son of God. Notice here, let us hold fast our profession. Hey, that's motivation to live the Christian life right there. That's what he says. Hold fast your profession. Don't give up as a Christian. You know why? Because you have a great high priest that's in heaven mediating on your behalf. All right? Then he goes on to say this. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hey, don't ever say God doesn't understand. You can never say that. You know why? Because Jesus Christ does understand because he came to where we were at. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. We'll talk about this more maybe once we get toward the Christmas story. But do you understand what Jesus Christ laid aside to come to this earth? Now, he didn't lay aside his deity. Okay, he was still God. But he laid aside some of his heavenly privileges. He laid aside his glorified body to come to earth and robe himself in human flesh. How humbling that was for Christ. How humbling. I mean, think about it. The creator of the universe was born of his own creation. I mean, folks, that was humbling for Christ. But yet he did that so he could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, those 40 days when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness of the devil, okay? You say, well, he was only tempted 3 times. Absolutely not. I mean, hey, those are the only 3 recorded temptations. But the Bible says he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Any temptation you've ever faced, the devil threw it at Jesus those 40 days in the wilderness. Anything you've ever faced, Christ faced it and came through it victorious. Let me tell you something. God, Jesus Christ, knows how we feel. Yes, he does. Because he's been through those things. He's allowed himself to be touched. touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Now, because of all that, listen to what verse 16 says. This ought to excite you as a Christian, okay? Listen to what he says. Let us therefore, because Christ is our high priest, because Jesus was touched of our infirmities, let us therefore, notice this, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let me ask you, Christian, have you ever been in a time of need? Oh, yeah. And if you haven't been, you will be. I promise you that's true. Have you ever been in a time of need? Let me tell you how to be the first place you go as a Christian. It's not to the psychologist. It's not to the TV to Dr. Phil. It ought to be to the throne of grace, because that's where you can find the help that you need in your great times of need. It's there at the throne. And Jesus Christ is there. I like what he says. Therefore, let us come boldly. Now, listen, he doesn't say to come arrogantly or come proudly. Okay? But let me just say this. God is the one that told us to come boldly. Hey, God can handle anything you throw at him. Yes, he can. Nothing's too big for you to cry out to him and ask him about. You have an invitation to boldly come in front of his throne. Now, think about that for a minute. Picture in your mind's eye, and if we have time and we don't, we could go to different passages of Scripture where it shows us God sitting on his throne. I think of that great passage of in Isaiah, where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and it says his train did fill the temple, and there was smoke, and all the cherubims were around him, and he describes that great scene of God sitting on his throne. I think in the book of Revelation, when in Revelation chapter 4, it talks about the great throne with the rainbow around it, and it pictures God on his throne. Think about that, okay? And you, as a Christian, have access to that throne where God sits and access to the God that sits on the throne. That is amazing to me. I mean, that, if you think about that and you let that sink down inside and you'll get that, that will change your life. And Jesus is there mediating for you. Okay, so Christian, let me encourage you this morning. You can pray. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let carnal, backslidden people influence you. You can pray. And God wants to hear you pray. Yes, he does. All right, number two, you can pray at any time. You can pray at any time. Hey, you can pray in the morning. Psalm 88 verse 13 says this, "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee." You can pray at the morning. You can pray at the evening, at morning, and at noon. Listen to this verse, Psalm 55, 17. "Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Hey, you can pray at night. Luke 16, 12. "And it came to pass in those days that he," speaking of Jesus, "went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." You can pray always. Ephesians 6, 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And the Bible commands us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. "Pray without ceasing." You kind of get the idea that God wants us to pray. You kind of get that idea? Now listen, Christian, all right? Sometimes we think, okay, well, if I'm going to pray, you know, it has to be, I got to be in a certain place. I have to have certain clothes on. It has to be at a certain specific time. It's got to be this, 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 and that. No, it doesn't. We're not Catholics, okay? You don't access God from one place in some building somewhere. God's everywhere. God wants to hear you pray anytime. Now, I'll just say this. I personally think God sets this precedence in the Bible that we ought to meet with God every morning. Listen, God wants to, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. And I think God wants us to begin our day with him. You ought to have a time of prayer in the morning. But as preacher always says this, that you know what? Prayer is kind of like picking up the phone, calling God, and all day long just leaving the phone off the hook. It's right there. Okay? Open line of communication to God. Okay? I mean, hey, and by the way, you don't have to always just be on your knees to pray. In fact, I'll be honest with you. If I prayed most of the time on my knees, I'd be sleeping, amen? And I find myself that I actually pray and communicate better to God when I can get up and walk. Okay? And especially when I can be out in nature and I can walk and it just helps my mind to pray and it keeps my attention so I don't fall asleep. Listen, Christian, you don't just have to pray a certain way. But the thing is, God wants to hear you pray. And the point he's trying to make is, anytime's a good time for prayer. Anytime. Aren't you glad that we have a pastor who emphasizes the importance of prayer at Blessed Old Baptist Church?
the pastor's prayer team. You walk in, you see pockets of men here and all over the building praying. Before the service, you got men in the back praying. Hey, listen, Christian, we need to pray at any time and every time. We need to pray. All right? So you can pray at any time. Number three, you can pray by yourself or with others. Now, the Bible talks about different types of prayer, okay? We mentioned this earlier, but the Bible talks about closet prayer. Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Every Christian ought to have a private prayer life. I mean, and by the way, that's that special relationship that you have with God. Okay? Hey, we have, for example, husband-wife relationship. You have certain aspects of your relationship are private, okay? And just things that you just only share with one another, all right? And by the way, marriage is a picture of our relationship to Jesus Christ, okay? And so you ought to have a private prayer life with God. There ought to be, that's why I always say this, have a time and have a place. You ought to have a specific, a special place that's yours and God's, that you can go, you can get alone with God. Closet prayer, and the Bible talks about that, talks about having a solitary place. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, speaking of Jesus, he went out and departed to a solitary place and there prayed. All right, so you ought to have a private prayer life. Not only that, there ought to be united prayer. United prayer. By the way, book of Acts, you go there. You know when you saw the power of God fall a lot of times? It was when the groups of Christians, the church, united together and were one place, one accord, praying for one specific thing, and the power of God fell. Why do you think I'm trying to get the church to help me pray about this property? You know why? Because I need the power of God to fall, okay? And I know the power of united prayer. And when we get together as a church and we all have one specific request, and I love it on Wednesday night. If you don't come to Wednesday night prayer meeting and you don't actually stay and participate in Wednesday night prayer meeting, you're missing something, church. Amen. You're missing it. I mean, it's a wonderful thing as I'm praying and gathered down here in the front with some of the men and as maybe somebody else is praying, I just listen. And I hear all the voices of God's people going up to him. By the way, the Bible says that to God it is like sweet incense that ascends to him. And I hear that and I think to myself, God, I hope you're pleased. I pray that you're pleased listening to your people cry out to you. There's power in united prayer. Power in that. Book of Acts. If we had time, we'd go there. And I could show you multiple examples of the united prayer that the early church had. Let me tell you something. And God honored that united prayer. Okay? So, we said number one, you can pray. Number two, you can pray at any time. Number three, you can pray by yourself or with others. Number four, you can pray about everything. You can pray about it all. I mean, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, remember what I told you about God? He's big enough to handle anything you want to bring to him. Yes, he is. He can handle it all right? So pray about everything. There should be not one specific thing you shouldn't pray about. And we like to, as our family, before we get in our vehicle and we go to any meeting, we like to have a time of prayer and ask God to bless that, watch over us, keep us safe. And just, I've tried to make it a habit, and I've been trying to get better at this because I've been slacking it, but I've been trying to get in the habit of just really instituting the lives of my family, the fact that, you know, we're just going to pray about everything. We're going to pray before we go here. We're going to pray before we go there. We're just going to get God involved in everything that we do. Pray about everything, Christian. Everything. All right? Isn't it amazing that we sometimes want to go and talk to everybody else except we won't bring it to God? Okay? Pray about everything. Pray about every need. We just read the verse. Let us therefore come bold into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hey, listen. If you're saved, you're God's child. God cares about his children. You got a need? Take it to God. You got a need? Take it to him. Now, I understand sometimes we need other people to talk to, but it's amazing to me that Christians who their first thought when it comes to a need, they want to go run to a human. Listen, I understand people can help us sometimes, but take your need to God. He's the one that wants to hear your need. So you got something that you need? Tell him about it, okay? Pray about it. Pray about every circumstance. Everything, just pray about it, okay? So you can pray about everything. Number five, you can pray anywhere. You know, there's a lot of different places that in the Bible God gives us where people pray. You don't have to just be in the church building to pray. You don't just have to be in your closet, special place where you have with you and God to pray. You can pray anywhere. Hey, do you realize that in the Bible that people have prayed out of some pretty strange places? Hey, you know what? Jonah prayed out of a fish's belly. I don't know about you. I've never prayed out of that. I hope I never have to pray out of a fish's belly. Amen. All right. But that's where Jonah prayed from. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Hey, you know what? Hey, God's so big, God's everywhere, that even in the depths of the ocean, in a fish's belly, God still hears prayer. Amen. Jonah prayed out of the fish's belly. Hey, we ought to pray at church. And the Bible gives us says that Jesus said this, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." We ought to pray at church. I mean, yes, we ought to. Prayer ought to be exalted and made important at the church. You can pray, at church. Hey, the Bible says that Jesus, he prayed in the wilderness. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. I like wilderness praying, okay? I just love the outdoors, okay? I haven't had a chance to go out deer hunting yet. I'm dying to go. I'm going out this week, okay? And I got to get out there. And I just love being in the woods. I love being in the wilderness. I love being in a place where the only thing I can hear is God's creation. Far enough away from everything to where I can't even hear the traffic. I mean, just out there, okay? What a wonderful place to pray. Bible says that you can pray on the ground. Mark 14:35, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. Hey, by the way, let me say this, Christian. There ought to be times in our lives, a lot, not just occasionally, where we prostrate ourselves on the ground and call out to God. Yes, we ought to. We ought to get ourselves low. All right? We ought to go as low as we can. We ought to fall on our face. Listen, that keeps us humble, amen? And by the way, remember what the Bible says. You either humble yourself or God will humble you. All right? So stay humble. If you can, prostrate yourself on the ground. The Bible talks about what we call cottage prayer meetings. And when he had considered the thing in Acts 12:12, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Hey, people were gathered together at that time. The church didn't necessarily have a building to meet in. All right? They were meeting in people's houses, and they gathered there. You know what they found when Christians gathered? They were praying. People in the Bible prayed by a riverside in Acts 16:13. People prayed on the housetop. People prayed in prisons. People prayed everywhere. So, Christian, let me say this. Just pray. Amen? Find yourself a place. Pray anywhere. I mean, hey, I don't know about you, but a lot of times as I'm driving, I'm praying. Okay? If I'm either not praying, I'm trying to listen to good, godly Christian music. But sometimes I don't even want to do that. I want to turn the music off, eat the good music, all right? And I just want to pray to God. Okay? Driving's a great time to pray. Hey, here's what I found out. If you don't do something with your mind while you're driving, when I drive, my mind wanders. Oh my goodness, it wanders. I got to engage my mind when I'm driving, okay? Because it just likes to wander, all right? Pray everywhere. And I remember in my life, as a teenager, there was different places. I remember one time we went to camp. Brother Jack will remember this. And we went to the Bill Rice Ranch. And Pastor and Brother Jack, he took some of us teenage boys, and we went and had a prayer meeting right next to the grave where John R. Rice was buried and Dr. Bill Rice was buried. We had a prayer meeting there, and we prayed. We besought the power of God. And by the way, the things we prayed for, God answered those prayers. Amen? And a lot of different places you can pray. All right? But the point is, just pray. All right? Pray anywhere. And you know what I like also? You can pray for anyone. You understand that? You can pray for anyone. The Bible says that we're to pray for little children. Remember when the parents brought their children to Jesus so he would pray for them? I mean, pray for your kid. By the way, Christian, by the way, parents, if you're not praying for your kids, who is? Now, I will say this. You have a pastor that prays for your kids. But you know who ought to be the number one prayer warrior for your own kids? You as the parent. Pray for your kids. I mean, did you ever take time? And I don't mean just Lord bless them, help them. No, I mean call their name out to God. Beseech God. Beseech the throne that God will help your children. Little children, you can pray for kids. Hey, here's one. And this one's sometimes hard. Bible says we're to pray for our enemies. Now, hey, I don't mind praying for kids and for other people that we'll see out here. But man, praying for your enemies? That's hard. Now, he doesn't necessarily say what to pray, all right? Now, for my enemies, I pray, first of all, if they'll get saved. I do pray that. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you're an American, I feel like our president's almost an enemy. Okay, I really feel like that. If you're a patriot, if you're a Christian patriot, okay, because he's for almost everything we're against. But you know the Bible says, and we'll talk about that later because the Bible does specifically pray for those in authority. But you know what? Your enemies, pray that God will save them. And then pray this. You know what, God? If you won't save them, then God, take them out of the way. Take them out of the way. All right? So pray for your enemies. Bible says we're to pray for laborers. Pray for, that's what Jesus said. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Let me tell you one of the things I'm praying for right now. I'm praying that once we get the church going, that God will already have people's hearts prepared, that he will either just send us, because our church is going to be there, okay? Which I'm not too optimistic to think that that's going to happen with too many people, but I do believe that God has the hearts of some people prepared. But you know, I'm already praying for laborers. I mean, listen, I got a vision for ministry. I got a vision to see bus routes up and going down in that area. I got a vision to see ministries to the juvenile detention facility there in Vincennes. I got a vision to see ministries to the VU campus. And I got all kinds of different visions of ministry. But in order for that to happen, you know what we got to have? Laborers. I mean, I can only do so much on my own by myself. If the work of God's going to go forth, there's got to be some laborers I'm praying for. I'm praying for those laborers, all right? Not only that, the Bible says to pray for the sick. James chapter 5, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Hey, if you're sick, let me tell you who your first call ought to be. It shouldn't be to your doctor. It ought to be to the great physician, amen? Amen. Pray to God. If you're sick, pray to God, okay? And you know what? Sometimes God allows sickness in our lives for different reasons. Bible says sometimes he's using it as a type of chastisement. Now that every time someone is sick, that means God's chastising him, okay? As Christians, we can't just be so careful just to whip out quick judgments about people, okay? All right, but sometimes people are being chastised with sickness because they're not right with the Lord. But a lot of times God is trying to take sickness and use it in our lives for his glory. So we can help other people. And sometimes, listen, Christian, let me tell you why we get sick a lot of times. Because we're flesh. Because we live in a sin-cursed body. Our bodies are dying. You know that, right? If you're breathing, you're dying. I mean, hey, every day you live is not one day closer to life. Although technically, I guess we could say that because we're one step closer to heaven. But as far as physically speaking, is one step closer to death. Okay? I mean, our bodies get sick. It's just part of the sin curse. Okay? So when you get sick, call out to God. Pray to him about it. Okay? Bible says that you can pray for yourself. It's not selfish to pray for yourself. Luke 22:40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye, speaking of themselves, enter not in temptation. But part of your prayer time ought to be for yourself. You know what I prayed for this morning? I prayed that I could have the power of God today. I prayed that. God, please help me to have your power. Help me to be filled with your spirit today, God. Help me to make sure that I'm everything I ought to be for you. I prayed for myself this morning. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. Now, I don't think all of our prayers ought to be for ourselves, okay? But you can include that in there. The Bible says we're to pray for all men. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving and thanks be made for all men. Here's how I do, okay? When I'm praying, if somebody pops in my mind, even if it's the most random person, here's what I think. God, for some reason, you're putting that person's name in my mind. I'm going to pray for him. Even if I don't even know him that well. It's just a casual person. Maybe I met somewhere, or maybe God just, I met him 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, but God just pops him in my mind. If they're there when I'm praying, that means God wants me to pray for him. Okay? And so pray for all men. There ought to be no person that you wouldn't be willing to pray for. Now, like I said, all your prayer for people isn't that God would bless them. Oh, I'm praying for some people. It's not that God bless them. It's that God will either help them get right or take them out. I'm praying for that. Because there's some people who are Christians, and you know what? They're just stubbing their nose at God, and they're causing havoc in the lives of other people. And my prayer is, God, help them either to get right or God, just take them on out of here. Because they're causing a lot of problems for other people. I pray that.
Okay? So pray for all men. The Bible says to pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy 2:2, for kings, for all that are in authority. Brother Harding mentioned this to us. As Christians, we're slackerness. By the way, my hand's up too, because this is one area God's convicted me in. But God says we're to pray for those in authority. When's the last time you prayed for our leaders, our national leaders, our state leaders, our local leaders? I mean, you say, man, if I do all that, it's going to take time. Hello? Prayers work, okay? It does take time. But you know what? We sure don't have problems taking time for things that we want. We don't have problems taking time watching football games or basketball games or anything like that. So yeah, prayer does take time. Prayer does take work. But God's commanded us to pray for those in authority. And then the Bible says to pray for one another. I mean, listen, church, I hope you're praying for each other. I hope you are. I hope you're praying for your church family. Listen, we got something special here. Yes, we do. This is a special thing that we have going on, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're a local assembly, but we're also family. And we ought to pray for each other. Now, do we all sometimes get on each other's nerves? Absolutely. I mean, some of you get on my nerves. I know I get on a lot of your nerves, all right? Hey, that's just part of being human beings. But you know what? I can't look at anyone in here and look at you and say, I don't love you as a Christian. And you know what? I do my best to try to pray for my church family. Now, I'm not saying I pray for everybody by name every day, all right? But sometime I try to have some prayer time. We ought to pray for one another. I hope you're praying for us. You're praying for each other as your church family. And then last of all, I just got a couple minutes left. Let me leave you with this last thought here. You can know. Notice I said know that prayer works. Prayer works, folks. Let me tell you something. You're not wasting your time when you're praying. No, you're not. Prayer does. You say, well, I can't see. Listen, quit judging stuff by temporal results. Not everything that we see with our temporal eye. I mean, you know, we could take this in so many different areas, but there's so many things that just because you can't see doesn't mean they're not real. I mean, can you see this morning the electricity flowing through to make these lights come on? No, but you see the results of that electricity. Did you see the wind out there this morning? No, but you saw the results of the wind. I mean, that makes sense to us as human beings. But when it comes to this whole prayer thing, well, God, I don't really see anything happening. I really don't. Here's where we get ourselves in trouble. I don't feel anything. Feel anything? Let me tell you something, folks. You cannot live your Christian life by your feelings. You know why? Because we are our heart. The Bible tells us that. It warns us of that. Our heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart is deceitful. Your feelings were trying to fool you. You don't live your Christian life by feelings. You live your Christian life by principle. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes you don't feel some things. You know what I found out? If I'll obey God, do what I'm supposed to do, then you know what? The feelings usually catch up to all that obedience. And I will say this, I feel good most of the time. You know why? Because I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. But you know what? Whether I feel good or not, I still got to do what God wants me to do. Okay? So you don't pray based upon your feeling. Listen, Christian, prayer does work. Listen to this verse, Psalm 6:9. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Did you hear that? The Lord will hear and the Lord will receive. When you pray, and by the way, there's prerequisites to that. You got to make sure you're clean. We mentioned that before, because the Bible does say if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. But let me say this, if you're right with the Lord as best as you can be, by the way, don't have to be perfect. Amen. All right. Thankful for that. But you do, but you're trying. You're confessed up. I'm telling you, Christian, God does hear your prayer. Now, by the way, here's what else I've learned through my prayer life. You know what? God's timing's not always my timing. Okay? And by the way, sometimes when I prayed for things and I thought at one time I wanted those things, I'm so glad God had the wisdom not to give me what I thought I wanted. Because later on, you know what I realized? God, I'm glad you didn't give me that because you had something better for me waiting down the road. Okay? So listen, Christian, don't get discouraged. All right? Pray and understand that prayer works. Prayer works. And I'll just say this. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you better learn to pray. You better learn to know what it is. By the way, let me encourage you. Wherever you're at, okay, you say, well, I don't have a prayer life. I mean, all these things you're saying to me, that it kind of makes sense, but I don't do that. Start now. Start today. Listen, there's no time to wait. Get that relationship going with the Lord. If you do have a relationship in prayer, build that relationship. Because I'll just say this, you know what I found about relationships? The more you build, the more you invest, the better the relationship is. You know why my wife and I have a great relationship? Because we've been at it for 17 years. That's why. Okay? We got a pretty good relationship today. I'll just say this. It's better today than it was 2 years into it. Okay? Because we built that thing. And I've made a lot of stupid mistakes. Amen? And I've learned from them mistakes. Okay? And but here's the thing. Your relationship with God. God wants and desires that with you. Okay? So let me encourage you, church. Pray. 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 All right. Let's pray. Amen? Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for your teaching, Lord. And God, we just love you so much. Thank you for the word. Thank you, God, for the access you offer us to you through prayer. And God, I pray for our church. God, help us to be a church of prayer. God, please just show us the miraculous, Lord. And just thank you for it. Bless our service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.